The Real Estate Hour, the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay. Heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience, bringing you market updates, industry insights, and tips for home buyers and sellers, plus community information and local guests. The Norman Home Team, a mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. And now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
We have a full house today.
We do, yeah.
We're doing the microphone shuffle. Good morning. Welcome. We have Diva Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager, who from our county assessor's office. And we're going to properly introduce them shortly. So thanks. Thanks for coming in. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking all about Prop 19. We had a conversation, has it been a few years? I think it's been a few years since we really kind of tried to dive into what exactly is this Prop 19, and it had just really kind of been voted in and really didn't have a really good grasp on what it's actually going to do and how we're going to handle it. So now that we're a few years in, we're going to have a really interesting conversation about what Proposition 19 is. It's that property tax-based transfer plus intergenerational transfer, all kinds of ways that you can move and take your tax base with you or transfer to someone. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what if you do home improvements, how is that reassess your property, and then if a partial ownership sale of a property, how does that affect your reassessment of your property? So all kinds of other things. And who qualifies for all of this? So we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to get the numbers out of the way.
Market update.
Not out of the way. I shouldn't say that. But we almost, because we have people go, you didn't do the numbers. So we are going to do the numbers. So let's talk about what happened in real estate this last week and what's currently going on. And we'll get that in now. And then we'll spend the full extent of the rest of the show. I'll do my part and then you can do yours. So let's take a quick look at what happened in the market or what's currently active going on in real estate right now. We've been talking about those numbers slowly inching up. Mm-hmm. We're actually over 900 active listings now, single family homes. It was 891, 898 the last few weeks. So it is going up. Good news is the in escrow is staying pretty consistent. In the 300s, it's 333. That still means that we have a lot more inventory than we have going into escrow. But, you know, it seems to be, at least in the lower portion of the market, going pretty quickly, and things are going into escrow pretty quickly.
Those lower prices.
When you get it, it's really kind of the tale of two markets right now, because when you get up over, I'd say probably like $1.3 million, somewhere around there, then we really see that activity slow down. And I think it has a little bit to do, probably a lot to do with the interest rates. That's a big, chunk of interest when you're getting a loan for a much higher amount. But we also have a lot of cash in this county, so we are seeing still those cash purchases even at higher price points. Yeah. But anyway, so inventory's up, but we're also in the thick of the summer, spring, summer market, which is when people like to move. So activity is just kind of cruising along. So condos, we have 158 active condos and townhouses. That number is also pretty high, with 43 in escrow, which is staying pretty consistent with what it's been. We were 156 last week, 152 the week before. You know, but then when you go back 6 months, you know, it's more like 90 or less. Yeah. That's just kind of what's where the market is in those two main parts of the market, the single family and then the condo townhouse. Then looking at mobile homes in a park, we've got 93 active mobile homes with 42 in escrow. Multi-units there, which we roll together the duplex, triplex, fourplex, plus the two houses, three houses, four houses on one parcel. There's 123 active of the combined. Of that, I split it up today just because I was curious how much of that is duplex versus, multi-houses on a parcel. And 73 of those 123 are actually house, two, three, and four houses on a parcel.
Oh,
of the active. So that's those family compounds that everybody is really looking for.
Yeah.
And then, but even though everyone wants those, only 8 of those are in escrow, 18 in total of the two are in escrow. So not a lot of them selling. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's investors, you know, buying that.
Too,
and then when the prices get high, interest rates get high, the investors tend to kind of go look somewhere else where they can get much more for their money. So
a lot of them are pretty high up there. And that's that price point where people aren't really.
Yeah. The median, right? The median price for those is up around $1 million. I think it was like $1.9 million. If you break it down, $1.750 million was the two house, three house, four houses was the median price. So that gets you up in that higher price where they go, oh, this doesn't really make sense anymore.
Yeah.
Land is the other one that we've been kind of, it's been going back and forth under three, over three. Today it's over 300, 309 active buildable residential lots and land with 36. In escrow, and that's also, you know, pretty
that's
consistent
normal.
With what we've seen. So
that's
a look at what's happening all every corner, nook and cranny of Sonoma County. We can always break that down into your specific neighborhood, your area of, you know, where you want to move, where you live, what type of property, all that stuff. We can break it down pretty tight into, you know, what's happening in my neighborhood. There's much less data, so it makes it a little harder to get a really solid idea of what's going on.
Definitely.
But anyway, that's what's happening all over Sonoma County. You have a look at what happened this last week.
Yeah, I have a look at what happened last Sunday to today, this Sunday. For Sonoma County, it is, so for new listings, we have 146 with a median list price of $799,000. And this is for Sonoma County single family residential. So back on market, 26, price reduction 64, in escrow 89, pending 57, sold 85 with a median sold price of $882,000 and an average of 43 days on the market.
Yeah, that days on the market's come down a little bit.
It has. Last week, let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
last
up
week
in the like
50,
50s, 60s. So, you know, and again, it depends on
what
price point we're in and where things are definitely selling faster.
Those lower.
Yeah, they're going into escrow within a couple of weeks. And if not, and you're in that lower price point, you're probably overpriced if you're not getting a pretty quick offer. There could be something else going on, but it usually equates to
it's usually the price.
And even in that higher market, I'm a higher part of the market, that higher price point, we expect to see longer days on the market. But, if it's a lot of longer days on the market and, you know, we really need to look at the price and see if that makes sense to, the market kind of tells you if you're priced right or not.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Anyway, so that's what we have currently right now about the market. Should we talk real quick? We do have a couple of listings. We have our 2, 3, 4, 6 Olivet Lane, $1.7 million. It's in that higher price point, but it's almost 3 acres, 2,400 square feet, and it's listed at $1.7 million. It's what else did I say? Almost 3 acres. It has 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, plus an office. A separate designated office that really would be a nice guest suite or something. Not suite, but guest room. It has 2 laundry rooms, 1 down, 1 up. It has 2 heat zones and AC zones. It has solar, which will be fully paid at close of escrow. It has a permitted building that they're in the process of permitting as an ADU. It's not completed yet. It's not an ADU yet. But it has the potential and a clear path forward to become an ADU.
How many rooms has...
It's a 1 bedroom, but it has 2 additional like office rooms.
Plus,
it's about 1,000 square foot.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, there is a clear path. He's working towards that. It has RV hookups. It's got a lot of stuff going for it. We also have a PUD that's over on.
I was just going to mention that. the wraparound porch and the vineyard views.
Thank you.
You
I left out the
two. Maintain.
Two
I know. Views for days. It's a beautiful property.
Sunset views, yeah. And the full, very true wraparound porch. I don't know about you guys, but I love a wraparound porch.
Yes.
And it's a really wide, very substantial wraparound porch. So with looking west, so you get the sunset, you get the sun setting over the vineyard, like Stephanie said, the vineyard that you don't have to take care of because it belongs to someone else. If you have horses, you could put horses on this property. Just got a lot of potential. Then the other end of the spectrum, we do have a PUD over in Marquess Springs area, Wickiup, listed at 510. It needs some updating, a little bit of work. It has some deferred maintenance, but it's two bedroom, two bath also. Pretty low HOAs. It's a PUD. And that's all the information I have. I can't give out the address. We actually don't have the address publicly listed, but if you talk to your realtor, they can let you know. But yep. They can show it. Or call us and ask us about it. That's all we have for real estate, our usual stuff. And then we're going to dive in about Prop 19 and all those things after we take a quick break. Shall we take a break?
We shall.
All right, let's take a break. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. We're here with Diva Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager, both from the assessor's office. I'll properly introduce them in just a moment. You're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
This is KSRO, Sonoma County's home for hard-hitting talk, local news, and variety at night and on the weekend. Like At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays at noon, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO.
You've probably been hearing it everywhere. Rates are shifting again. You may be asking, should we wait to buy a home? The truth is, there's no perfect rate or perfect time, only the right time for you.
If the payment fits your comfort level, the home fits your life, and the move makes sense for you, then the rate is just one piece of the puzzle.
Trying to time the market perfectly is a gamble. Making a smart decision based on your goals, finances, and future, that's a strategy.
That's where we come in. We'll walk you through the process, ask the right questions, connect you with a trusted local lender, and help you find the right home.
Because buying your home should be guided by your timing, not the headline.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team at normanhometeam.com. Allison and Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 0172-0334 and 0220-9237.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Oh no, Jeff, come back. Are we on? Go, hello. Are you sure we're on the air? Good. Okay. That was an extra long musical introduction there. Anyway, welcome back. And we're going to dive right in and spend the rest of our show talking all about Prop 19 and other assessment things. We're always happy to have our assessors, the Sonoma County Assessors Department. It's not department, is it department?
It's a department.
Yeah, okay, yep. In here in studio today. So we've got a full house, and we're always excited to have you, and thanks for coming in. But we're here with Diva Marie Proto, who is elected by voters in 2018 to serve as Sonoma County Clerk, Recorder, Assessor. Prior to her elected position, she served 5 years as Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder for Sonoma County Clerk Recorder Assessor Department as the Chief Deputy Recorder. As the Chief Deputy Clerk Recorder, and you oversee the entire department.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yeah, okay. We have about 100 employees in the whole department now.
Wow. You got it. And thank goodness you're no longer doing the Registrar of Voters.
Well, I miss it.
I know. It was a lot.
It was definitely a lot. And now we can focus a little bit more on the clerk, recorder, assessor stuff.
Yeah,
elections just kind of took up all the air in the room.
And the assessor, I think, is a really important piece. It is. It's a huge piece. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, and then we also have Rhiannon Yeager, who's the chief deputy assessor for Sonoma County. Where she served since 2020 and began her career in Sacramento County Assessor's Office before joining Sonoma County in 2008. Over the past 24 years, she's held roles including real property supervisor and chief appraiser. And she brings a deep expertise in property valuation with a focus on agricultural properties, which we're going to talk about as part of, including wineries, extensive experience in assessment appeals hearings, and holds an advanced certificate in appraising for property tax purposes. So both of you are definitely the right people to be talking to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know your stuff and have both been in it for a long time. And, you know, that assessment is such an important part of real estate, you know. Yes. And a lot of times, even just, you know, people when they buy a house, they don't understand what their property tax is going to look like and how is that assessed. And it's pretty straightforward, I guess. When I talk to people from other states, ours with the Prop 13, right, keeps it pretty level, you know, and we have all these assessments and bonds and stuff that add on to that. But people don't realize what they're going to be paying. I've actually had a couple one time that backed out. Well, they hadn't put an offer in yet, but they were looking in the million plus. And then they go, oh, the property tax. And they said, I don't think we want to spend that much money. So they started then looking at lower houses because of that. So it's just something I think a lot of people don't think about. Same with insurance, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome. And I think the bulk, is there anything more? Let's talk about kind of what the assessor's office does. What do you guys do there?
I'm sure well, we... We value all the property in Sonoma County for property tax purposes. So that's going to be the residential, the commercial. We have land, we have ag, obviously all the buildings. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that people don't know about, like for instance, the boats and aircraft, business property. We do audits of business to make sure that they're paying the correct property taxes. We don't want to overvalue people.
Yeah.
And so we do periodic audits. We have possessory interest, which is where people are using government properties and making a profit. So there's this huge variety. And in order to do that, we also have a mapping team that is doing all the parcel maps and keeping the properties up to date. We have an ownership team that is processing all the changes in ownership and determining, is this a change in ownership? Is this a reassessable event? Mm. We have an exemptions team, and they are looking at processing homeowners exemptions, welfare exemptions, disabled veterans exemptions. So we've got this really amazing team that is doing all of this really complicated work. We have a lot of certifications through the Board of Equalization that we have to have in order to do our work. We have accountants and appraisers and mappers, and we really have
all
an amazing
things.
Team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and a lot of people don't think about the fact how big Sonoma County is and how the not just by size, but population and parcels. I don't know. I don't know where we sit in the, you know, 52 counties.
I think we just saw, it's a couple years old. We're just getting an audit of the work we've done by the State Board of Equalization. They actually go through every couple years and audit the work we've done. And I think I saw that we had the eighth largest assessment role in the state. And considering that I think we're, you know, medium to small, I was a little surprised by that. But we are a medium-sized county, and we do have really high values here.
Yeah.
So that pushes us up against some counties that may be larger, but maybe don't have as many parcels or don't have the property values.
Right. Yeah, so you have a lot of work to do.
Kind of a big deal.
I think it was last time you were here or some other time that we talked about something, and we always kind of assume, or had been told and taught, that, you know, sale price is pretty much what you base the assessment on, but I think you had told me that it's yes, but not necessarily.
It's the market value of the property.
Right.
So if a property sells on the open market, it was a open listing, people had an opportunity, generally speaking, that would be the market value. But for off-market transactions, we're going to look at comparable sales, and it may not be the price that was paid. So yeah, we're always going to use a couple different valuation methods to determine what the actual fair market value is.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that some people go, well, let's, you know, we'll sell it to you for, you know, we'll sell it to you for $300,000 when its market value is like $5,000, you know, but because it's a family member, you know, or something that doesn't necessarily, you know, and then they'll say, well, then you'll have your property taxes will be lower. And so that's not necessarily true.
No.
But then once you set that, what I think is kind of unique about California is that Prop 13, where it can't go up more than
2%.
Okay. And is 1% plus, you know, a little bit more for assessments and bonds a pretty good rule of thumb?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we say 1.1, 1.2 just for estimating purposes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
that's
it's
typically
going
what we
to
tell
vary
people as well.
Across the county with what bonds have been approved, what parcel taxes.
Right, right. And then I think people just understanding that supplemental tax too, mm-hmm. the fact that how are you about it still about a year to reassess?
Yeah, we're still experiencing some backlog. We've made some really great improvements over the last few years catching up to that, but we are still a little bit behind. In a perfect world, we're 6 months to a year behind an event, just the way our calendar year is. Now we're looking at maybe, you know, 8 months to 18 months.
Okay. Which is, you know, based on what we just talked about, the sheer volume of of things and property selling and all of that. So what we're talking about, in case people are saying, what are they talking about? That's supplemental. So when you purchase a home, you're the first, you know, maybe year or so, year and a half even, we tell people, and you're going to get plenty of notices about this and disclosures. The title company is going to make you sign something. We're going to make you sign something. Did you know that this is a, you know, that there may be a supplemental tax? So you're taxed on the amount that the previous owner is paying and then, or being taxed. And then it catches up. And people, if they don't know that or don't realize it, they're going to have this chunk possibly of money. Yeah. Does it go back the other way? Sometimes it does. I guess, you know, it's the way they get some money back.
Yeah, if someone has, and for instance, does a Prop 19 transfer of their base year, so the person who owned the property previously is paying higher property taxes, and then you transfer a base, you're now paying lower. When we do the supplemental, then you'll wind up getting a refund of the difference.
So
generally speaking, though, it's going to go up based on the new rate,
right?
And then you'll wind up paying a little bit more, and it'll be the difference in between what you already paid, which was based off the previous owner's tax base, and then the difference between what your rate is based on your current assessed value.
Right. Okay. All the things to know. So, like I said, they'll tell you that plenty of times when you're purchasing a home. I think we just have about a minute before we take a break. Yeah, for the news. So maybe just a quick, really introduction of what Prop 19 is, and then we'll dive into that when we get back. Is there a way to do a quick?
I'll try.
What is Prop 19?
Prop 19 was passed by voters in November of 2020, and it changed the rules around intergenerational transfers, which was previously called parent to child or grandparent to grandchild. And also base year transfers. So if you're over 55 or you're severely disabled, you can transfer your tax base to another part of the state, another property. And so it just changed the rules around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're still trying to make sure that people understand the differences, because the other rules were in place for so long that people got very used to them.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a sea change, and we are still working on making sure everybody has all the information. And then we're always coming up with, there's new scenarios that come up all the time.
And how do we handle that?
And we have to figure it out.
And when we'll continue that after the break.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break for the news and then all that good stuff. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Prop 19. We've got Dave and Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager from the Sonoma County Assessor's Office. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
Move on your body, spinning round and round, but down, down, down. ABC News, I'm Mike Dabusky. President Trump now says Israel's latest strikes in Lebanon should not disrupt an important process as the U.S. and Iran try to work out a deal to temporarily pause the fighting. Avner Vilon, a former senior officer who worked in Israeli military intelligence, spoke about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on ABC's This Week.
I don't think this is necessarily Bibi trying to sabotage the deal. However, we know what he thinks about the deal, and I'm sure this actually crossed his mind when he ordered that strike in Beirut.
Tonight's UFC fight at the White House will proceed rain or shine, according to UFC.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a cloudy and cooler overnight, we can look to partly cloudy skies with daytime highs in the high 70s and low 80s. In the evening, fairly cloudy skies and around a 20% chance of showers should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 50s. Looking ahead, temps will continue dropping, eventually reaching the mid to low 70s by Thursday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO. Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning. We're back. And we're having an interesting conversation, I think.
It is interesting.
If it's not interesting, it should be. Pay attention because it's important stuff. And, you know, when you buy a piece of property, there's that assessment piece and there's that property tax piece. And like I said, a lot of people don't think about that piece of it, and it is, you know, partially gonna, you know, depend on whether you're gonna qualify for the loan or not, because they're gonna look at, here's what your property tax is gonna be, along with your insurance. That's the other one thing people forget. But anyway, if you're just tuning in, we're here with Diva Marie Perotto, who is our elected Sonoma County clerk and recorder assessor, and Rhiannon Yeager, Chief Deputy Assessor for Sonoma County. And you guys do, you know, make the rounds. I know we've seen you at a couple, and I think it's great because, especially with the new things, when new things come out and people don't really understand what is this Prop 19. And I know we used to talk a lot about Prop 60 and 90, which were, you know, you could transfer in certain areas in within the county, or, you know, 5 or 10 different areas that you probably didn't want to move to, you know, so but I shouldn't say that, but anyway, we used to kind of joke about that, but it was really nice, I think, to see that now you can take that tax base everywhere, well, in California, anywhere. But what is that, what are the who qualifies for that, because it's not anybody can take their tax base.
So for the base year transfer, it's 55 and older, and it's one claimant. So if it's a couple who owns a property, only one person in that are filing for it. So they have to be 55 and older.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if the other person is not?
Correct.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And you have you can do it up to 3 times per claimant.
Wow.
So a couple would have 6 opportunities.
6 moves, wow. Okay.
Which is a lot of moves.
Yeah. And then there's a disabled element?
Yes, a disabled.
Okay.
And then there is a portion of it that's for a victim of a wildfire or natural disaster.
Right, yeah. And they I think, were a pretty mighty force in bringing this law into because I remember that there was a whole, you know, coalition of people that survived the fires here, and, you know, that
the interesting thing about Prop 19 is it eliminated everything we had about parent to child transfers and base year transfers, except in the disasters. We still have the other options that were available to victims of natural disasters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit interesting. So those people that find themselves in that situation, they have a few avenues to explore when they're making some choices.
Yeah, and the case that they made, I think, is valid. You know, they've lost their home now. You know, they have to go buy a new home. Why should they now be reassessed at that higher amount? So, I guess it makes sense. It does make sense.
And it did expand it to anywhere in the state where previously it was restricted.
Oh,
to
right. Okay.
Just a few counties would allow inner.
Yeah.
County transfers.
Right. I like that it expanded to everywhere, because that was a lot of times we would say, oh, you could use that, you know, that transfer, that props, that was at 90, that was the,
It was Prop 50, and then the one to go, it was similar to 90, where you could go to some counties, but you still had that equal or lesser value limit, and Prop 19 eliminates that.
Okay. Oh, that's a good point. Thank you. So I was going to ask you that. So It can be, so if you go up in value, how does that work? So you're taking your tax base and then do you add on?
Yeah, the excess would be added on.
Okay. Yeah, now I know there's a timeline. How does that, is it a hard, you know, hard?
It's all state law. And okay. It was passed by the voters, so there's absolutely no discretion allowed for our office.
So you can't say, oops, I missed the deadline. Yes. Can you fix this for me?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the deadline and how does that work?
2 years.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, 2 years
deadline,
between the sale of the original and the purchase of the replacement. And the purchase of the replacement can be before or after the sale of the original. It just has to be within 2 years.
Oh.
And then there's also a provision that allows you to do construction. So if you've owned land for years and years and you decide to build, you can sell your original. That completion of construction has to occur within 2 years of the sale of the original.
And okay.
That's the challenging part with construction because...
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Sometimes there are more than a lot of variables. Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of issues with that with, for instance, different fires statewide that have then restricted the supply chain, and people here have found it difficult to get what they needed to build,
yeah.
And it's pushed that timeline out. And again, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do in terms of extending or making any type of exceptions for those timelines.
Okay, so people don't go yell at don't go yell at them. It's not their fault. Your constraints are, you know, set in stone there by the state. So. Mm-hmm. But I think that's, like Stephanie said, that's a pretty wide, you know, with the exception of if you're trying to build something, you know, that. But so, and it doesn't automatically happen. I think that's something a lot of people don't realize is that, oh, you mean I have to go fill out? Is there, where does somebody start that process?
We have all the forms on our website and they're available. We will get a preliminary change of ownership when, the deeds are recorded and everything like that. And a lot of times people think that that applies for different exclusions and different exemptions. And I put that in, you should know that we're doing some kind of a transfer or homeowner's exemption.
Mm-hmm.
But the Proposition 19 application actually asks for a lot more information, such as Social Security number. We need that information. That's all sent to the state. And they're the ones that track how many times somebody is transferring their tax base.
Okay.
So all this information, and then we need to coordinate if somebody is coming from a different county, we need to coordinate with them to find out what was the previous base year value. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of information we need.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to fill out that application.
Okay.
We don't know about it.
Yeah, right. And people don't, you know, I've run across people like, oh, I didn't realize I had to do that. So it doesn't automatically trigger when you sell or purchase. Or,
what is,
you know, all
the,
of those things.
What's the website?
It's sonomacounty.gov/assessor.
Perfect.
You could also just Google Sonoma County Assessor. We have a link that's specific to forms.
Okay.
We have a page on Prop 19 where we go over kind of the different opportunities. And
okay, good. And just for anybody that's listening, maybe that doesn't understand when we say base transfer, what exactly does that mean?
So with Proposition 13, your property tax is set based on an assessable event. Generally, it's a transfer of ownership. It could be new construction. And it can't go up more than 2% per year. So it therefore means that people are paying different property tax rates when they're right next to each other. And somebody who's owned their house since 1980 is going to have a much lower tax base than somebody who bought their property last year. And so a lot of times in the past, people wouldn't move because they didn't want to lose that tax base.
My mom said, I don't want to move because she bought in 1969. You know,
so. Yes, and the property values have gone up so much more than 2% a year.
Yeah.
That if you've owned your property for any significant amount of time, that base year that you're paying on is much, much less than you would pay right now.
Okay.
And so this just allows you to take that decreased tax base and transfer that to another property okay. so that you're not penalized for moving.
Right, right. And I think that did free up a lot of people, like I said, like my mom, who said she didn't want to move because that was one reason, probably a big reason, was that she had a really low tax.
Yeah.
I think, when did it, was Prop 13, 1978 or something, right?
1978, and it rolled the values back to the market value of 1975.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
we have quite a few properties who are still in that.
Really yeah, low. That's what, I mean, we, yeah. she passed away and then we sold her house, but in 2020, but up until then, you know, she had a very low tax mm-hmm. base. Because it's that 2% per year from 1975, which they bought their house in 69 for like $17,000. You know? Anyway, so, okay, well, I don't know what time it is, but well, oh, we have a few minutes. So let's talk about the intergenerational part of, so that's part of 19. So the thing I think most people think about when they hear Prop 19 is I can take my tax base and move somewhere else. What's the intergenerational piece of it?
That was previously called parent to child or grandparent to grandchild, and that's where someone can leave their property and that tax base to their children. Mm-hmm. Either they can transfer it to them when everybody's living, or maybe upon someone's death, okay. that property transfers, and that property tax base could be transferred. Proposition 19 changed that and restricted it because it used to be really there was no assessment done. There was just, it was available to transfer this property. You filled out the application. If you qualified, we just kept the parent's base year, which was generally a lower mm-hmm. tax base. And now with Proposition 19, it's restricted. It's only the primary residence.
Okay.
So it really took away anybody who has small businesses, owns investment properties. Maybe they have a primary residence and then they have a couple of, you know, properties that they rent out, and they have three children and they wanted to pass them to each child or
right.
something like that. Now it's only the primary residence that is going to be able to be transferred.
Okay.
And it has to become the primary residence of the child, which is one of the biggest things yeah. within 1 year.
Okay.
They have to move into that property and it has to stay their primary residence. Oh. So we get a lot of questions, you know, what if I move in for 5 years, then can I keep that tax base? And the answer is no. Once mm-hmm. you move out, it's going to go back to what it would have been. We will take the fair market value at the time of the transfer mm-hmm. and then we'll factor that up. Mm-hmm. There won't be any benefit
okay.
That's retained just because you did live there for a small period of time.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that was a big loophole that people were using as, you know, for investment properties mm-hmm. to where they would just continue to transfer and you know, keep that low tax base.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that got rid of that.
Can yeah. you talk about timing? Because I think that's really important
yes.
for this.
Yes.
So as Diva mentioned, it has to become the primary residence of the child. And it can go in reverse, too. Children can transfer to parents.
Okay.
But you have to make it your primary residence within 1 year. And that is set in the Constitution.
Okay.
You can do it by filing a homeowner's exemption, and you should do it by filing uh-huh. a homeowner's exemption with 1 year. But there are certain situations where you can't move in for years. For instance, say the home wasn't habitable. There was,
yeah.
There's a lot, and you have to do some construction. If you don't make it your primary residence in 1 year, there's nothing we can do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So same as the other. Yeah. The other thing, the yeah. 2 years on. Okay, when yeah. people just need to understand that, yeah. So you yeah. move, you know, you move in into the backyard. And put your RV, you know, park your RV in the parking lot, in the driveway, right?
We had someone try that, and I want to be clear that doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't, really? Okay, I didn't know. I'm not trying to break the rules. You know, always looking for a way to make it work. But I didn't realize that yeah. that doesn't, so you're not, you have to be physically living
yeah.
in the property.
You have to be physically living okay. in the property. Yes,
okay.
Well,
within
know.
1 year. So, no, get it done in a year, you guys, so you can save some money. So, okay, let's take a quick break. We come back there in the wrapping up kind of Prop 13, there's that family farm mm-hmm. element that kind of puts it in two different categories, right? Kind of like it's a primary, but it's not. So we'll talk about that when we get back. We're here talking to Diva Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager from the Sonoma County Assessor's Office and learning all about all the things you need to know about assessing, transferring that tax base, all that good stuff. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
You've got to try the new TikTok diet.
Just ask Chat.
I just take blue green algae.
You just have to eat kale. Kale, kale, kale.
I read you should put butter in your coffee.
Or you could trust your gut. When it comes to your energy, digestion, and overall health, how do you know what's actually right for you? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to show what's going on inside you right now. Not trends, not guesses, your biology. With your results, Viome gives you clear, personalized, actionable guidance. Which foods help you, which ones don't, and which supplements your body actually can benefit from. All based on the world's largest gut health databases and thousands of clinical research studies. Many people who use Viome report better digestion, more energy, and an improved mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing.
And maybe still eat the kale?
Maybe. Learn more at Viome.com/know. V as in Victor, Iome.com/KNOW. And use coupon code VIOME50 to save $50 off your purchase.
And eat everything blue.
No, thank you.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning, Barney. We're back. We're back. We're having an interesting conversation about your property assessment here in Sonoma County. I mean, it's kind of a California thing. Are there any specific, I know there's specific assessments and, you know, bonds and different things that are specific to Sonoma County, but everything else is pretty much statewide that we're talking about, right?
All the Prop 19 and Prop 13 is statewide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So, and in case I forgot to mention, we're here talking with Diva Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager with our Sonoma County Assessor's Office. And, it's really good to, I think, for people to understand this piece of it, because the property tax is a big part of owning real estate, you know?
So,
So let's talk about that piece I mentioned before we went on a break, the family farm, because you specialize, Rhiannon, in kind of that ag piece of things. So how is that assessed, and how does it fit into Prop 19?
So Proposition 19 changed how, you know, you can pass down property to your children, whether it's upon death or before, and it limited it to a family home. However, they also allow it for a family farm, and so that's for the farming portion of the property. But if there are residential units on it, those would be carved out and reassessed. The biggest thing about Prop 19, which we didn't actually discuss earlier, was that $1 million exclusion.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
So if you have a property with a base value of $100,000, it's worth $1 million. We're gonna look at the two numbers, and if it exceeds $1 million plus the base, then you're gonna transfer just the full base with no excess. Anything over that $1 million plus the original base gets added. So $1 million in Sonoma County, especially in agricultural land, doesn't stretch too far.
No, it doesn't shock us.
And we have a lot of family farms in Sonoma County, which makes us so charming and wonderful.
Right?
So I think our farming community is really going to see some big changes coming because of Proposition 19 in their expenses regarding property taxes.
Do you think it's a change for the good, or they expect more?
They should expect an increase in their property tax obligation.
Okay.
And we have had some pretty good conversations with the Farm Bureau and different members of our ag community, just trying to educate on what to expect and to be prepared.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
And I think it's important. The Prop 19 is the transfer for family farms is per parcel, but we have a lot of areas in the county where, like, the minimum parcel size is like 100 acres.
Yeah.
And when you look at the $1 million for 100 acres, that does not go very far. And a lot of these family farms are really, you know, land rich and cash poor. They don't have just buckets of money sitting around to pay these increased property taxes. They're generally operating with very thin profit margins. And so we want to make sure that people are aware of the impacts so that they can try to accommodate that. Because I do think one of the great things about Sonoma County is our ag community and all this open space. And so, you know, these increases in property taxes might not be beneficial for just the overall vibe of Sonoma County.
Right, right. So, mm-hmm. and this is only if there's a transfer of ownership that we're talking about, not just your property taxes are going to go up.
But correct.
No, because they're still governed by
Prop 13.
Right, Prop 13.
Yes.
Which is that no more than 2%. So there's the ag piece, and then there's a primary residence piece of it. So you're saying you kind of separate that out?
And you can have both on one property. If it's a family farm that also has the primary residence, and the parents live there, and then it transfers to a child, and then they move in there, they can then qualify for the family farm that comes with that same $1 million allowance,
okay.
as well as the the primary rents, as well as the family farm. So there's about $2 million that we're looking at. But
okay.
it's two different. We're appraising the entire property and then separating it out by those individual pieces to determine what type of exclusion to apply.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you're almost treating it like two separate assessments.
Yeah, it's a multi-part appraisal problem.
Yeah, yeah, fun. Yeah. And yeah, well, I'm sure you probably love doing that. Do you still do assessment? Like, yeah, you get out there.
I try and pretend like I do, but we have
a newer
group
cats,
of ag appraisers who are so much smarter than me anyways, and they're so fantastic, and they're really getting in there and understanding, you know, what property values of that community, and they're keeping their thumb on the pulse, especially, you know, with everything going on and then maybe the vineyard world, and they're really trying to stay on top of it.
Yeah, a lot of that. I think it's interesting, and a lot of people probably don't think about the fact that there's actual people going out there and assessing property. We just think, oh, it's, you know, you buy a house, here's the assessed value, and that's it, you know. So I, you know, when you kind of break it down and think about it, there's actually people going out there.
There is, and if I can put it on plug for us, is that one of the things we like to do is to look at the property, because, you know, especially when you're talking about family farms, I've always said this is, you know, animals aren't always kind to buildings. And so for us to see the condition, and then so we can make an appropriate value determination without seeing it, we may over assess.
Yeah,
people typically don't call if we've under assessed, but you know, we would prefer to get it correct the first time. And however, if you receive a notice and you disagree with the value, there's always an opportunity to have a conversation with us, and of course, there's always the appeals process as well.
Okay, that's
well,
good to know.
And with these parent-child transfers, those are definitely, you know, those are not market transactions. So there's not the sales data. So
right,
giving us as much information, like Rhiannon said, about the condition of the property is going to help us. And even if that is going to be a primary residence and you get the family farm and everything, it is going to set that base year. And so it's really important that we get it right. And so
good.
As much information as we can have.
Okay.
Your mom owned her property since, you know, the 60s. If there were no changes, that's maybe a different value than something that's been remodeled over time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit, because I want to make sure we just only have about 5 minutes, but I want to talk about, you know, I was just saying on the break, you know, a lot of times people don't want to get a permit for an additional room because they go, oh, now you're going to reassess my whole house, my property taxes are going to go up. I would just say also, when you go to sell your house, you may not sell it for as much money because you have things that are unpermitted. So, you know, you can't, you know, you try and get around things and it doesn't always work. But anyway, so my point is, I'm not saying do that. I'm saying that people sometimes we'll say that, and I think people don't understand that you're only reassessing that one additional upgrade or things. How does that work? You want to explain that a little bit?
Well, Proposition 13 sets that base year value upon the time of transfer, and then it does have allowances for reassessment upon new construction. But we're only looking at the new construction and the value that adds to the property. So if somebody is putting in one bathroom and just expanding their house and all they're adding is a bathroom. What we're going to look at is the additional value to the property that was just that bathroom. So mm-hmm. the whole property is going to not get reassessed, the land, the building. It's just going to be, okay, what's that additional value for right, that one okay. portion? And then that's going to get added on. So it's going to be a relatively small amount. Yeah. But it is going to be the current market value at the time of completion of construction.
Okay. Of that one little piece of it.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is one thing. Sometimes people call us and say, hey, I am going to put in, you know, an extra 1,000 square feet or an extra bedroom or an extra bathroom. How much is that going to increase mm-hmm. my property taxes? And we don't have an answer for that.
It depends, right?
Because it's going to be based on the market value at the time of completion. And
yeah,
we never know where the market is going to go.
Right.
I wish we did.
I know. But we all do. We don't.
Yeah.
That would be nice to be able to predict all that. Okay. So yeah, I think that's an important thing. And it is also, you know, yes, it's adding to your property taxes, but it's also adding to your property's value, you mm-hmm. know, so there's, you know, it catches up. Before we run out of time, one other thing is we have oftentimes somebody will sell a portion of a property. There's mm-hmm. tenants in common, you know, and they own a, you know, 50-50 or a 40-60, and they, one person sells or transfers to somebody else. How is it reassessed then? And is there a certain percentage that triggers that reassessment?
Generally speaking, we're going to reassess for the portion that transfers.
Okay.
So if two people own a property 50-50 and one of the people sells their property, their portion of the property at 50%, the first person, their base year is going to stay at the 50% what it was.
Right. And then that Prop 13 trajectory.
Yes. Okay. And then the other 50% that just got sold is going to be reassessed at current market value. And then we're going to take those two and blend them together. And that's going to be the new property tax rate going forward.
Got it.
But there are circumstances that might trigger a full reassessment. So we like to say generally, it's like the lawyers, it depends.
Yes,
it depends. So okay. I don't know if you want to add anything.
And there isn't, it could be 20%, it could be 50, it could be 75%. We're just going to look at that what percentage in ownership changed. And as an appraiser, you're going to go determine the full market value,
right,
and then apply that full market value by the percentage.
Okay, so that makes sense.
So if it's 50% of the original base is coming on and 50% of a new base is coming on. And
yeah.
Blended base
okay.
value.
Okay, that's good for the person that isn't selling to know that yours is gonna mm-hmm. not affect them.
Yeah, and there's some exclusions, like Diva mentioned, that would apply, and there would be no change in ownership.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Good. Well, we're out of time. Darn it. How would somebody contact you if they want to ask you some questions? Is there a place online? Or?
Yes, absolutely. We have information on our website, which again is sonomacounty.gov/assessor, or you could Google Sonoma County Assessor. We have our phone number, and we do have people answering, mm-hmm. and we also have our email address, and we have staff answering that.
Okay. That's all on the website?
All on the website.
Okay.
We're happy to answer any questions, and we have a fantastic customer service staff.
Awesome. Well, you guys are all hardworking, and thanks for spreading the awareness on Prop 19, especially because it's such a topic that people don't understand. It's new still.
It's important stuff.
Diva Marie Proto, Rhiannon Yeager, Sonoma County Assessor's Office, and Clerk Recorder, and all the fun stuff you do. Thank you always for coming
in.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
You've been listening to The Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience. A mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. Call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. More next week, right here on KSRO.
The proceeding was a paid presentation. Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News.